Hey guys, we're back with another month of the movies and TV shows and various other things that we watched. I want to start real quick with something that it technically isn't in my list, but I want to do a quick, like, if you guys are cool with it, like a quick little recap of the whole Fantastic Fest collective that I saw, because it's been scattered all over the feed. I don't know how many people listen to all of it, but the short version is Cam is very good. It's coming out in November. You Might Be the Killer is very good. It should be available in November. I'm trying to think what else I saw. I Used to Be Normal. The Tale of a Boy Band Fangirl is fucking delightful and is one of my higher rated movies of the year. I mean, those are really the three that I want to shout out. Those three are awesome. All the other movies were also very, very good, but those three are definitely my top three of the trip. So I just wanted to throw them out there. If you haven't had a chance to listen to some of those bonus episodes and interviews, give them a shot, because I think I did semi-decent doing the interviews. All right, guys. So let's talk about the movies and TV shows and comic books and all of the other things that our eyes have passed by over the last month. We'll just continue to do this round robin. Who wants to kick us off?
I'll take the inaugural punch here. We watched Insatiable, which I told you guys, after like the first episode, I think I messaged you guys and was like, you have to watch Insatiable. It's on Netflix. It's fucking amazing. I have to pump the brakes a little bit on my endorsement of the series, because the first half of the season is just great. But then it does the Riverdale, where the second half of the season is just people being shitty so that they can move the plot line along. And really bothers the shit out of me. So I would say it's worth a watch if you don't have anything better to watch. Like, watch the first two episodes. They're fucking great. If you really feel the desire, continue on. And when it gets hard, you're not missing anything if you miss the last like five episodes. It's just more of the same.
All right. I'm going to go with a movie that I watched a screener of before Fantastic Fest to decide if I wanted to do an interview or not. And I opted to not do the interview. And that is Between Worlds, the newest Nicolas Cage movie. Nicolas Cage has been getting a lot of great press because of Mandy, which I still haven't gotten a chance to see. And Between Worlds, I was hoping would be really fun. Now, I'm told that I missed out on the excitement by not seeing it in a theater with a crowd that was like laughing and having fun with how bad it is. But when you're just sitting alone in your bedroom staring at a laptop screen, it's not very fun. It's a film in which Nicolas Cage plays a truck driver who falls in love with a woman, and his dead ex-wife decides to possess that woman's teenage daughter, and he begins having sex with both of them. Ugh. And that's the movie, and it's just bad. It's not a good movie. It's not fun. I didn't enjoy it. And I could have lived a healthy life not seeing it. It is in my bottom 10 of the entire year. So, yeah, not a good movie.
Okay. Wow. I am ill prepared, so I'm going to try to figure out what I watched since the last time we recorded. But I did recently watch on Sunday, me and Jade watched the original Halloween together, and it was wonderful, and she didn't enjoy it, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I had a great time because it was just one of those things where I was like, you know what? I haven't fucking celebrated Halloween. Let's watch the original Halloween. So we lit candles. We turned all the lights off. I went to the store. I got apple cider. I heated up the apple cider. We had nice warm apple cider, and we watched the original Halloween, and it breaks my heart that she didn't enjoy it. She thought it was slow and she thought it was boring, and it's always one of my favorites. So that was what I watched. Everyone knows it's a good movie. I don't have to say much else on it.
You know, some asshole on the group is going to be like, well, I think Halloween's boring. Yeah. So because I have it on my Shudder queue, on my list on Shudder. And I read a couple of the reviews because I was like, I wonder what people are saying. And some people were like, this is my first watch, and I thought it was really dry, and I don't understand why it's so famous. I was like, you are 12 years old. Get the fuck off of Shudder.
Yeah, it's like as soon as it starts, there's just little things that like, and that's the thing. I feel like people like I feel like my generation's good with that, and the newer generations, which I'm not that old, but like I do feel like the 18 to 20 year olds, they can't put themselves in a time, you know, like I can watch a fucking black and white horror movie and like, no, it doesn't really hold up in that sense. But like you can appreciate everything Vincent Price did.
Yeah.
For when he did it, you know, and they have trouble with it. They're like comparing it like, oh, Halloween wasn't as artistic as Mother. It's like, shut up.
But I don't understand that at all, because especially like I can speak for Matt and I can speak for myself. I mean, and Brian, you just gave your thoughts on it. But Matt and I had a very similar, I mean, Matt's a couple years younger than me, but he still had a lot of the same general experiences as me watching. You know, you'd go to the video store, you'd go to the pharmacist or wherever the corner store, and they'd have the racks and racks of horror VHS tapes, and you'd be like, you know, scaring the piss out of yourself by just looking at the covers, you know. And I watched a lot of 80s stuff because of that, seeing stuff as a young adult that I had seen covers of as a child. And but then I also, you know, I can appreciate stuff from the 70s. I don't really love stuff from the 70s because it's just a different, I don't know. I mean, like, I can get into it. I just don't seek it out as often. 60s horror, I mean, like, 60s horror is fun. You watch the Hammer horror stuff, and it's absolutely horror is a product of its time. I mean, yeah. I love 50s horror because teen horror in the 50s is just a love letter, like, to Buddy Holly, you know? Yeah. It's just, that's all it is to me. Or, you know, like, you know, Blood Beach or whatever it is, the horrors of blood, or whatever, that monster where it comes out.
Oh, Horror at Party Beach. I love that.
Yeah. You know, so I get it. I mean, I get that it's, I just don't understand that concept of, like, because when I was in the early 2000s, I would watch movies that were 20 years old, and I was like, oh, this shit is so good. But kids aren't watching movies from, like, you know, 1998 right now being like, this stuff is so fun. They're being like, well, this doesn't hold up. Where's the sense of fun there?
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. Brian and I have talked about this because, I mean, it's not a secret that Brian and I love Disney and Disney films. But, like, even, like, our niece and nephew, like, the movies that, you know, Brian and I would watch whatever the newest Disney cartoon was, but we could very easily also watch, like, you know, The Sword and the Stone and The Jungle Book and, like, these movies that were, like, 60-year-old animated films. But, like, our niece and nephew, if it's not a computer-animated Disney film, they have no interest in watching, like, a 2D animation.
Yeah, and it's insane. And it's funny because, like, you learn that you can find a whole era of things. And my buddy just really started listening to the podcast. So, Bone, if you're out there, I appreciate you supporting me. But we were, like, talking about the podcast and movies we watched. And I was like, yeah, we work so well together because we each found our niche of, like, horror that we love. And I was like, I love 70s slashers. Scott loves 80s monsters, and my brother loves cheesy bad movies, and that's like
I mean, I do, that's accurate,
right? I feel like that's the best way to describe the three of us, but I wasn't alive in the fucking 70s, you know?
That you can't appreciate it though. That's
exactly
the point, you know? Like, I don't understand, and I guess that we're not ripping on teenage horror fans. I think we're just ripping on teenagers.
A very vocal, specific one. Like, because I don't think that it's all them, but there are, like, very vocal, specific people that aren't afraid to be like, well, I personally think that this is, shut the fuck.
Exactly.
Like,
kind of,
yeah. Like, so you don't see those people at horror cons. The worst thing I've ever heard, there are two worst things I've ever heard at a horror con. One, Tusk is a good movie. And two, that somebody didn't like The Witch because they couldn't understand it. They couldn't understand what they were saying. I'm like, are you fucking serious? The guy sounded like a redneck anyway, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, the issue with the previous generation, and then I'll let you go, Max, we're going on a tangent, is they are trying to grow up so fast. And it's like 16-year-olds acting like they have college degrees. And in return, they're making millennials like me grow up even faster. So now I'm a 28-year-old, 60-year-old man sitting in my rocking chair bitching about the rapscallions and fucking how the good old days used to be.
And they're mumble crap.
Yeah. Just yelling at kids for being on my lawn. Get out of here!
All right, Scott, what's your next one on your list of things man. To watch?
So keeping with the TV episodes, shows we've watched, we finished The Good Place Season 2. It is such a delightful show. And we have started watching Season 3. But we are now watching it once a week, which blows because I need to binge watch that shit.
So keeping in last month where I had my movies from the worst thing that I watched to the best thing that I watched, there's only one thing on my list that is a rewatch that I'd seen previously. I rewatched Mad Men from the 80s, and it's mostly a bad movie.
Yeah, it still doesn't really hold up, does it?
No, the only thing that's great is maybe the last like 10 or 15 minutes when there's just like 7 decapitations, like rapid fire. I like the kills in it, but the kills only make up about 5 minutes of the 90-minute slog that the film is.
Yeah, I definitely Scott Rogered that one.
Yeah, the kills are great. That's all you need. Like, go and search Mad Men 1980 kills, and you'll see everything that you need to see
that's,
in that movie.
Oh, that's what I should have done the first time. Damn.
All right, Brian?
I watched House on the Haunted Hill. And
Wait, House on the Haunted Hill 99?
No. The Vincent Price.
Oh, okay. Vincent
All right. Price one. Still great.
Yeah, so good time.
Really, really good time. There's not much to really to talk about. You know, it's just a great, great vibe, great story, can get you sucked in. And it was a wonderful thing to watch. And it's just, I got really excited because I didn't realize how long it's been since I've seen it. And just starting off with Vincent Price's floating head just got me really like nostalgic. I felt like I was a young kid. At my grandfather's, because he was the one that really introduced me and my brother to House on the Haunted Hill, House of Wax, The Fly, all those movies. It was thanks to my grandfather.
He loved Vincent.
Yeah, Wilson, and it got me really, really jacked up, and I really enjoyed watching that. So yeah, that's another one I watched.
All right, back to Scott.
What? Oh, that was fast. Wow. All right. So I
got Roger those.
So this is the last one in my TV list for the month. I watched the first season. I didn't even finish it, but I tried to watch the first season of Channel Zero, Candle Cove. And I got about halfway, and then I was like, nah. And I don't know if I'm going to go back and watch any of the other seasons. I have a really hard time with serialized horror. I don't know if I could actually point out a serious horror show that I have given a shit about enough to watch the whole thing of a season, much less multiple seasons. Evil Dead, Ash vs. Evil Dead does not count because it's horror comedy and it's amazing television and super hyper gory. So, and Bruce Campbell, I mean, the chin. So what can you say?
And I feel like sometimes, like even, so I've watched the first two seasons of American Horror Story at this point, and neither one of those seasons, like I didn't hate either of those seasons. I thought Murder House was really good and Asylum was fine. But like at the end of the day, I was like, I don't understand how these both couldn't have just been a solid 90-minute film. Like it didn't need to be a 13-hour story.
Right.
And I think that that's always my issue with most of the serialized horror series is that it feels like it's really stretching to get to its episodes as opposed to just like telling a good, concise story.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think that the problem with that is like it's tension. You know, you gotta maintain tension for like 13 episodes. It's crazy.
Yeah, and it's probably, I'm sure those shows probably were not designed to be binged, honestly. Like, those are the shows that probably are supposed to be watched weekly, because, like, I don't know. It's kind of like when you read, it's the difference. So I've been reading a lot of graphic novels lately, and there is a world of difference between reading a graphic novel versus reading them as single issues, because it's always like the last panel's like, oh no. And then like you turn the page and it's like resolution.
Yeah.
Like, it really takes a lot of the tension out of the story.
Even reading like back issues as a single issue, instead of just flipping through a trade paperback graphic novel, is very different, because I was lucky enough to get the entire Saga of the Swamp Thing that Alan Moore did as the individual. I won an eBay auction a couple years back, and I got all of the books, like the actual comics. But I have already read all whatever 5 or 6 compiled graphic novels there are from that whole run. And it's way different, because even though I'd already read them, it was so much different to read them with the tactile feel, smell, you know, just that whole experience of reading a comic book as it was originally made. That you're right, Matt. Even if it's not just the like, oh, resolution, next page, it's the experience of the pacing is just so different when they take out the ads and you don't have to like close the book and then open another one to get to the next piece of the story.
You know who I really feel bad for? Fans of the Phantom. Because like, if you're reading like the Daily Times, Marmaduke and Garfield can knock out a punchline in 3 fucking panels. But like the Phantom, when I was a kid and would pick up my grandfather's newspaper, it would just be like the Phantom sitting there and then like sighing. And then his partner being like, Penny for your thoughts. And then it's like, see more tomorrow. And it's like, I have to wait 24 hours to see what happens next.
All right. So we're about to hit a long chunk of movies that I saw in the theater thanks to the AMC A-list card. So I saw Peppermint, and it's trash, but it's just the right type of trash for me. It's basically that, and I think I explained this to a couple people already, but it's like someone wrote a Steven Seagal movie, and Steven Seagal was like, nah, I'm busy. And they're like, do you think Jennifer Gardner would be interested? Because it's the most like dumb action revenge movie ever, but just female lead instead of like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Chuck Norris, or any of those guys. But it's, I mean, here's the plot line. Tell me if you've heard this one before. A bunch of gangsters kill somebody's family, but they get away with it, and they come back a year later ready to kill. Like, that's every Steven Seagal movie. But it is, I was like taken aback by how gory and graphic it was. So it's fun. It'll definitely end up on my DVD shelf one day. And on to Brian.
On to me. Okay, so I have a lot of like old things that people are outdated, people don't care about. So if anyone's looking for something newer to watch, I watched Maniac on Netflix, and man, was I fucking
took that off my list.
Really? I enjoyed it like from begin to end. I have a new respect for Jonah Hill after watching that show, and there was a few times where I got lost and I'm like, all right, this doesn't make any sense, but I wrote it out and it was well worth it. The end of the season, I was just nothing but satisfied.
I might just ask you to break down the entire season for me so I don't have to slog through it, because man, like, I watched the first episode and neither Megan nor I were feeling it. I like the visuals are great. Actually, I think we watched two or three episodes. I can't even remember now, but I just don't care. Like, I like Jonah Hill. But I'm sure that it gets better, but you're going to have to sell me on this offline, okay?
No, I mean, honestly, just speaking from my perspective, I'm not going to put you through it. I mean, I could give you a whole spoiler alert off the episode, but I was sucked in from episode 1. So if by episode 3 you're not feeling it, I don't think you'll feel it. It started to drag like later on, you know? Yeah, I don't think you'd enjoy it if you haven't enjoyed it yet. That's just my opinion, though.
All right, on to Scott.
All right, so I have a back-to-backer, all right?
That's
strictly
fine.
Due to the fact that their names are so similar. So I watched Terrifier.
Please.
And then Terrified.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say Terrafirmer.
No, I would never do that on my own. But Terrifier, I did not enjoy.
Damn it, dude.
At all.
This fucking movie has been on my maybe watch, and it's just like every time I bump into someone, they're like, it's surprisingly good. And then I bump into the next person, like, it was awful. Don't watch it. And I never know. Well, so now I'm not watching it.
Well, I think that you should watch it and then talk about it maybe next month, because you might have a different take on it. But here's my take. It's well done, but the plot and script are so threadbare, well-worn, and really off-color that it just doesn't hit for me. Like, there's a really, I mean, any woman that sees this movie and likes it has me shaking, has me scratching my fucking head, because there's one specific scene. Matt, you've seen it, right?
I haven't seen it, but I know of the scene that you're about to
okay,
talk
I'm
about,
not going to say
everyone's
anything.
Everyone's been like, yeah, everyone's been like, yo, this movie, like, whether you love it or hate it, whatever, but there's like a thing that will never get out of your brain after
so
you watch it.
It wasn't, I would not go that far, but the scene in question is really tacky. It's not well done. It's just incredibly misogynistic and did not need to be made. Like, the shit that I saw in a Serbian film, which I still haven't finished and never will, that's really scarring. This is just really poor taste, and I hated it. I fucking hated it. Like, not the whole movie itself. The movie's internal logic is ridiculous and stupid, but it's well made. Like, the cinematography is good. The guy that actually plays Art the Clown is good and creepy. I don't know. It's one of those movies that I was like, I can't believe I'm going to finish this shit, because I had heard so many good things, but I really was unhappy with the fact that I watched it, because I know that I didn't specifically pay to see it because I watched it on Shudder or Netflix. I think it's Shudder. Doesn't matter. Wherever it is, I didn't pay to watch it, but I mean, I am a data point somewhere in some server that I watched that movie, and I kind of hate myself for it, because I don't think that it should have a wide release. It's one of those, it's not as bad as August Underground, but it is in really fucking poor taste.
Well, I'm not interested.
It's like an I Spit on Your Grave remake kind of thing. Like, I don't even know if it's as bad as I Spit on Your Grave 2010 or whatever that movie was, but like, it is really not, and I don't mean that in a, like, it's edgy and subversive. I just mean that it's in poor taste, and the people that like it for that are not the kind of people that I really want to spend a whole lot of time around, because we have such different worldviews.
Yeah, and I don't see, I've actually never seen I Spit on Your Grave remake, because I don't care for rape, right? We all know that. I it's tough for me to watch. And if I do, there's got to be some redeeming quality. And even if this movie did what the original did as far as redeeming quality, it couldn't do it fully, because it doesn't have that 70s slasher feel. Like, the only reason I can watch I Spit on Your Grave was dude getting dick cut off in the bathtub.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the thing about the original is so less graphic. Like, the remake of I Spit on Your Grave, the rape scene is like 15 minutes long. It's insane. It's the longest rape scene possibly that I know of, except maybe like whatever, Irreversible, but I'm not watching that.
Yeah.
You know, I liked the original I Spit on Your Grave. I watched it when I was in high school, and I was like, you know, I understood the gravity of the situation, but it was done in such a kind of like a hand wavy manner that I just went for the revenge kills, and I loved that shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, if I had to pick between watching Last House on the Left and I Spit on Your Grave as far as, like, gross, rapey shit, I would pick I Spit on Your Grave, which is ironic because you'd think that the one about rape revenge would be less grimy, or it would be more grimy, but it's actually less than Last House on the Left.
So how was Terrified?
Not good. I thought that, first of all, so you guys remember, it called that found footage movie with the stretch face ghosts, Matt.
Grave Encounters.
Yeah, it was like Grave Encounters, but Argentinian or something like that. It was dumb as fuck.
So I might be wrong, and you know, she'll definitely be vocal if she listens to this episode. But Katie saw it the same night that I saw You Might Be the Killer, and she was like, you missed out, you saw a bad movie, I saw a great movie. And I was like, dude, You Might Be the Killer might be one of the best horror films I've ever seen. And you know what, I'm seeing a whole lot of people backing me up after they aired it on Sci-Fi a couple weeks ago.
So It's on Shudder. Oh. I watched it on Shudder, man.
Oh, You Might Be the Killer or Terrified?
No, Terrified.
Oh, sorry. I was talking about You Might Be the Killer. Sorry. They aired on Sci-Fi, and like everybody it's in the group up. Who watched it has been like, yo, that was like Mario was like, Matt is so fucking right about how good this movie is.
Well, it's also really Mario's shit, you know? Like Mario.
Oh, yeah, it's a Scream movie.
Yeah,
it's
literally exactly.
The modern day Scream. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so both meh.
No, I would say one is worse than the other. I would not recommend watching either, but at least Terrified was so vanilla that I could at least like exist while it was going on and not be offended. It was just dumb. It was like Grave Encounters meets Pet Sematary with no answers. And subtitles.
So I saw the new Predator movie, and I really fucking liked it. And I know a lot of people hated it.
That's Joe Dante, right?
Yeah. No. Fred Decker.
Oh, Fred Decker. Sorry,
Shane,
sorry.
Yeah, it's Fred Decker wrote it and Shane Black directed it. Right. And it just, you know what? There's moments that feel like Night of the Creeps. There's moments that feel like Monster Squad. So I fucking loved it because I love those movies. And it's super funny. Like, I think that that's the issue that people are having with it is that a lot of people went to see another Predator movie that was like an action movie. And like, this was an action movie with a lot of comedy in it. Mm. Michael Key or Key for what's his name, Ryan?
Michael Shea?
No, from Key and Peele.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
Jordan, there's Jordan Peele. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I apologize. I think it's Michael Keegan Kay or Key, but he's hysterical in it. Everyone's just super funny. And it's, you know, basically the crux of the movie, the thing that everybody, whether they loved it or hated it, agreed on is that the dialogue is fast and funny. And it's everything that you love about a Shane Black script or a Joe Decker script. And I don't understand why people are bitching because they're the main characters and are in like 85 to 90% of the movie. And then the other percent is a fucking Predator monster. So like, to me, that's a great movie, but whatever. I really like the Predator. See it for yourself and make your own decision. I don't blame you if it's not what you expected, but I went with no real love for the Predator, but a whole lot of love for Fred Decker. And I walked out very pleased. Brian, your turn.
Okay. How many do you guys have left?
I've got four left.
I have four as well, but I'm going to do doubles on both.
Okay, so I'll do some doubles then. I watched Rear Window. I'm going to do two old movies.
Nice.
I watched Rear Window for the first time.
All right.
Yeah, loved it. Absolutely loved it. Great fucking movie. I have slept on Alfred Hitchcock for forever. I watched The Birds when I was younger and I thought it was like, meh. And then I always liked Psycho. And then one day for one night only, they were showing North by Northwest in the movie theater. So I was like, let me just go to the movies by myself and watch this. And I was mesmerized by it. And every time I watch a Hitchcock film, I feel like I get mesmerized. I feel like it's just, he can just draw me in. So I absolutely loved it. And believe it or not, I watch silent films just to see the appreciation or if it's on a list. And I got to say, The General starring Buster Keaton, I laughed out loud at a few scenes in that fucking movie. Very, very good movie. I can't really suggest anyone watch it because I get it. I mean, fucking silent films are tough to get through if you don't fucking care for them. But man, there were some scenes that were really funny in that movie. So those are two oldies that I watched.
All right, Scott.
All right, I am combining these two strictly due to the fact that they both are four letters, all in caps, that I watched. Isn't that the most ridiculous arbitrary thing? Solo. We watched Solo right when it came out on VOD. Megan, I think she just rented it. I really enjoyed it. I don't think I love – I mean, it's no Rogue One, but it's good. It's real.
All right.
And then Doom, I came up on Netflix or Hulu and I slogged my way through it, falling asleep multiple times. And it was really bad. It was as bad as I thought it was going to be.
And it sucked because I liked the idea when it first came out. I was like, oh, like the fucking first person fucking shooter.
You only get 2 minutes of that at the end, though.
Yeah. I never watched it. It just, it was one of those things, but by the time it became an opportunity, I've heard way too many, like I haven't heard one person say it was okay. It's just bad across the board. So I haven't put myself through
it. What they should have done was have it be Event Horizon on the moon, because that's kind of what the movie or the video game was, in my opinion. Whatever. I mean, it's been like 15, 20 years since it came out. I don't even know, but it's not worth a revisit if you've seen it before, and it's not worth a visit if you've never been.
Perfect.
All right. So I guess I'll just double up because both of these start with since we're going for whatever. I saw A Star Is Born, and it was good, not great. I definitely agree. I definitely agree that it is what it is. It's going to win some awards. I think that it's got some serious second act issues that I would have really have liked to be cut down and made shorter. But otherwise, it's fine. The music is really good. Lady Gaga is really good. Bradley Cooper is a pretty decent first-time director. But the other movie that I saw that I actually really, really fucking liked was A Simple Favor. Paul Feig attempting a kind of serious drama. It's just a really fun, well-paced, good suspense film. So I had a blast with that one. I don't want to talk about that one too much because it kind of is one of those movies where every like 10 minutes is another twist or turn in the story. But if you're into like a cool modern day noir film and you like Anna Kendrick, then you should see it.
Hmm. Nice.
All right, Brian.
So it's me again, huh? Real quick, I'll do one that I don't really have much to say because everyone's kind of already seen it or about to see it. Saw Mandy. It's fucking great. Cheddar Goblin.
Chew it over mac and cheese.
I will say this. It's a great movie I will never watch again.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely a one and done.
That guy does.
Yeah.
Like, Beyond the Black Rainbow.
Yeah, it was like, oh, this is awesome. It's fucking Nicolas Cage fucking, you know, nonsense. Never have to watch it again. And then I started watching a show, and then I fell asleep, but I did a 5K that day, so cut me some slack, and then I had to record. But The Witching Season is on Amazon Prime or Shudder, and it is like a Twilight Zone, but horror all takes place around Halloween. And I gotta say, like, the first episode was endearing. I guess that's the word I would use. Like, it wasn't like, oh, this is so great, I gotta tell anyone, but it's like, I can watch this. And they're like 20 minutes tops. They're really short. But yeah, I enjoyed it. The Witching Season.
All right, Scott, what's your last two?
All right, so I watched an anthology film, finally, called Southbound, which I'm sure you guys know about, right?
I've heard of it.
I'll let you talk.
It was okay. I liked one of the four or five stories. I like the fact that they're all interwoven. Uh-huh. And it has the girl from John Dies at the End in it. She's one of the main characters in that. If you've seen John Dies at the End, it's the woman who's in that. And she's also in... Oh, fuck. What's that movie that came out this summer that I watched, that I talked about on the podcast? Sequence Break, about the killer arcade game.
Yeah.
She was in that as well. But it's not an anthology that I would come back to. Most anthologies aren't. I liked it better than most anthologies because the end of each one was the start of the next one, and I appreciated that. But the wraparound story was kind of nonsense, especially in a timeline sense, actual chronological sense. So I don't know. It was okay. It was not one that I would go tell random people at a con that they need to watch. You know what I'm saying? But then I watched a really bad but beautiful film It seems like I've watched a lot of bad shit this month, which is odd because I usually have a lot more nice things to say. But I want to say it was South by last year or something that this movie, this Scottish ghost movie called The Lodgers came out. And I was like, oh, it's a period ghost, like a Victorian style. I mean, it's 1920s, but it looks kind of Victorian. Gothic, rather not Victorian, but Gothic. It looks Gothic. It's a period piece. It's spooky. I was like, Megan, we gotta watch this. And I was just kept hounding her about it. I was like, babe, when this comes out, let's watch this, you know? And she was like, okay, whatever. As long as it's not too scary. We started watching it because it's on Netflix, I want to say. And I was so stoked. And within the first 10 minutes, Megan goes, this is an incest movie. I'm not watching it. She wasn't wrong. And I stayed up till midnight on a work night. By the way, I get up at 5 a.m., but I was so annoyed with this movie that I was like just trying to finish it. Because I thought there has to be some redeeming quality to it. I need answers. There were no answers. The only redeeming quality was how pretty the scenery is. The cinematography is not bad. It's quite competent. But the acting is very bland because the script is very bland. The storyline is just fucking dumb. So I highly recommend you avoid The Lodgers unless you're into incest. And if so, there are much better, sexier things to go watch on the internet, on Pornhub, because pretty much every fucking Gen Z-er or whatever they are, you know, 18 to 22 year old right now is into stepsister porn. So go watch that. Don't watch this shit.
Jesus.
All right. So I guess I'll take us home on this one. I'll put the one above the other because I think Brian will have something to say about both of these, I think.
Uh-huh.
So I watched the second season of Big Mouth, which was delightful and a continuation of all the things that I loved about the first season of Big Mouth.
It's fucking great.
It's a great show. It might take a couple episodes to get going if you haven't watched it, the first season. Netflix does this weird thing with their adult animated film, animated shows. I think they did the same thing with BoJack, where the first like two or three episodes, you're just like, this is just like an Adult Swim show that didn't make it. And then you're like, oh, no. This has that love and like heart that I expect out of a Netflix show that I don't get on normal TV shows. Big Mouth is fucking hysterical, but it captures the struggle of teenage puberty and adolescence so fantastically. And it just goes against all, like, every instinct of where you think a joke is going to go, it goes the opposite.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use an example that Brian used to pitch me on the show, and it's in the first season. There's a scene where the dad's talking up the mom, and they're about to have sex, and he's like, just get ready, baby. Here it comes. We're going to do it all night. And then he like gets in the bed and the camera pans over to the clock that says 7 o'clock. And then it flips to 7:01 and it pans back over. And he's like all stretched out in the bed. And he goes, I can't believe we had sex for 24 hours and 1 minute. It's like, that's the humor throughout the whole show. It's fucking brilliant setup and punchline. Anything you want to throw in there, Brian, before I move on to my last thing?
No, I have one more thing to bring up outside of Big Mouth for what I watched. So I'll let you finish and then I'll go.
All right. And then the last thing I watched was my favorite movie that I've watched this month so far as of the time of this recording, because we'll probably put this out after the Halloween in theaters now. And that might change things. But Bedtime at the El Royale was just a really fucking fun, everything that I wanted a modern day Quentin Tarantino movie to be that Quentin Tarantino movies have lacked since like Pulp Fiction. So it's just a fun, you got your John Hamm in there. You got your Chris Hemsworth in there. You got your Jeff Bridges in there. Like, it's a solid little cast. Nick Offerman pops up for a little bit. Jerry from Parks and Rec has a small cameo. And they're all in there, and it's basically Three people check into a hotel for different reasons, and it's a pretty much an abandoned hotel, and then different things happen and pieces start to fall into place, and you know, a cult is involved in some ways, and a robbery from years ago is a piece of the puzzle, and it's all these little things all combining, and it's a period piece film that takes place in the 60s. It's just a fucking fantastic movie, and it's like 2 hours and 15 minutes, but it flies like it felt like 90 minutes. It moves every second, it's moving forward. So just a great movie. Definitely in my top 10 of the year so far.
Cool.
Brian, take us home.
The last thing I want to take you guys home with is a podcast, right? And we've talked about this on the podcast, but I really want to pitch this specific topic that they're discussing, which is Last Podcast on the Left is talking about the West Memphis 3. And whether you like true crime or don't, I strongly suggest everybody listen to this podcast about it, because I have watched several documentaries on the West Memphis 3, and the information that I've gotten from this has been insane. Scott, if you're someone that really doesn't care for that true crime stuff, the murders are talked about for maybe 2 minutes. I mean, the whole basis is really about the satanic panic and just how fucked up our justice system is and how insane it is, and how like these three boys got sent to fucking jail, one of which was just a slow person that was trying to help the authorities, but they realized that they could manipulate him. It's just fucking insane. And I really, really suggest everyone listen to it. Because it's fucking, I mean, I think there's nothing more incredible than like looking back and realize that, like, you know, we lived through like the fucking satanic panic. You know what I mean? Like, we lived through like Marilyn Manson and like everyone's parents, like just thinking like that there was like cults in every fucking corner and devil worship and fucking insane shit. And I didn't realize how fucking bad it actually got and how many lives were fucking affected by it. So watch that, because they actually bring up stories too of other people that got wrongfully accused for similar situations. So I really, really suggest everyone listen to that.
I guess because I think it actually gets mentioned in the podcast that I appeared on. Also check out Geek History Lesson that had your boy Matt Kelly on it, talking about my top 5 horror villains. And I've gotten some very kind words from people who enjoyed it. So thank you, random fans of Geek History Lesson. And I hope some of you are listening to us right now, because that would be fun. All right. Well, that was everything for What Did We Watch This Month. We'll be back next month, obviously, with our list of movies that we watched that particular month as well. But stay tuned, because we got a whole shit ton of bonus material that's just about to be dropped all over your face. So get ready for all of the Halloween excitement that we have around the corner.
We are going to fucking blast a load of fucking bonus material all over your face.
We are going to throat fuck you with words.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.